We continue our study in the book of Psalms, and today we are studying Psalm 81. Psalm 81. I read to you Psalm 81 from the ESV version. To the choir master, according to the Gittith of Asaph, sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, a rule of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank you that we can come together on Wednesday evenings like this, as your church bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord God who ministers to us by your Spirit, through your word. And we thank you that you are the God who will open our eyes to perceive truth. Oh Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes to perceive wonderful truths out of thy holy law. And we pray, Lord, that your word would be written in our minds and in our hearts, that we might not sin against you, and that we would walk in your ways, and that you would fulfill your purpose in and through our lives. Hear our cry. Open our eyes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The superscription of this psalm says, to the choir master according to the Gittith. Now this word Gittith, that's how it is pronounced. It means a harp. It could also mean a wine press. So this psalm could be a vintage tune sung using a harp. The psalmist called the people together to worship the Lord. But then the Lord's messenger received a special message from God and delivered it to the people. The occasion of the psalm was a stated feast on the Jewish calendar, but we are not told which feast it was. In verses 5 to 7 and also verse 10, that suggests the Jewish Passover feast. But the mention of the new moon and the full moon in verse 3, it suggests the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jewish religious year begins in the month of Nisan, which is our March-April, and during which the Feast of Passover is celebrated, which we read about in Exodus chapter 12. The civil year for the Jews begin with Tishri. Tishri, which is our September-October, it is the seventh month in the Jewish religious year, during which the Jews celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, the first day of the feast being Rosh Hashanah, and then the Day of Atonement, that is the tenth day, it's called Yom Kippur, and then the Feast of Tabernacles are during days 15 to 22, day 22. And we find all the details in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 to 44, and also in the book of Numbers chapter 29. Now the first day would be new moon and the 15th day would be full moon. The trumpets mentioned here in this psalm, they are not the silver trumpets mentioned in Numbers chapter 10, but the trumpets mentioned here are the shofar. Shofar in Hebrew means the ram's horn. And that was what was used at Jericho in Joshua chapter 6 when the walls of Jericho fell, when the Israelites blew the trumpets. So most likely the occasion for the psalm was the Feast of Tabernacles. Although perhaps Asaph the writer blended the psalm for both the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, for they go together. Passover celebrated the deliverance from Egypt. The Feast of Tabernacles was celebrated concerning the Lord's care of his people during the wilderness years, the 40 years in the wilderness. The Feast of Tabernacles was also a joyful harvest festival. Now this psalm, Psalm 81, reminds us of three different aspects of true worship. And this will be our focus as we look into the psalm. Three different aspects of true worship. Number one, praising God's name, verses 1 to 5. Number two, hearing God's word, verses 6 to 10. Verses 6 to 10. And number three, obeying God's will, verses 11 to 16. The first aspect of worship is praising God's name. Psalm 81, verses 1 to 5. In verse 1, we see the leader is calling together the people. Psalm 81, verse 1, sing aloud to God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Then he calls together the musicians in verse 2. He tells them in verse 2, Psalm 81, verse 2, raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Then the leader calls the priests to blow the trumpets in verse 3. Psalm 81 verse 3. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day. In the Old Testament law, you find stated times of worship. The weekly Sabbath, then the annual feast, etc. And we also find spontaneous times of worship. When the enemy is defeated, for example. Both are essential to balanced worship, and both should focus on the goodness of the Lord. If all our worship were just personal and spontaneous, there would be diversity but no unity. But if all our worship only followed a schedule, a strict pattern, there would be uniformity but there would be no diversity. Now we see here that both voices and instruments were used in worship. The nation is called Jacob, it is called Israel, and also Joseph. Psalm 81 verses 4 to 5. For it is a statute for Israel, a rule of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. Jacob and his wives built the family, Israel, and Joseph preserved them alive in Egypt. God gave Jacob the name Israel, which means God fights. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. He's fleeing from Laban, remember. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. Now, Jacob was alone. He had got the news that Esau, his brother, whom he had fled from, was now coming to meet him. He had just fled from Laban. And now Esau, he gets the news that Esau is coming to meet him, his brother. When we are left alone and at the end of our resources, then God can come to us and do something in us and for us. When we are left alone, we have reached the end of our resources, then God can come to us and he can do something in us. He can do something for us. When we are alone, we can't escape into other people's hearts and minds and be distracted. We have to live with ourselves and we have to face ourselves. Now, 20 years ago, Jacob had met the Lord when he was alone at Bethel. Now, graciously, God comes to him again in his time of need. Jacob had spent most of his adult life wrestling with people. He had wrestled with Esau, he had wrestled with Isaac, he had wrestled with Laban, and even with his wives. So God came to him. And how does God come to him? God comes to him as a wrestler. Psalm 18 verse 26. To the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. 20 years ago at Bethel, God had promised to bless Jacob. Now, from the material point of view, the promise was fulfilled. Jacob was now a very wealthy man because he had served Laban. But there's much more to the blessing of God than the flocks and herds and servants. God blessed him while he was serving Laban. God blessed him and he had abundance of flocks and herds and servants. But that's not enough. There's also the matter of godly character, spiritual influence. And during that dark night of the soul, when Jacob was alone, Jacob discovered that he had spent his entire life fighting God, resisting his will, resisting God. Jacob discovered that the only way to victory was through surrender. A.W. Tozer was the one who said, "The Lord cannot fully bless a man until he has first conquered him." The Lord cannot fully bless a man until he has first conquered him. And God conquered Jacob by weakening him. More than anything else, Jacob wanted the blessing of the Lord upon his life. And this was his desire. And this is a holy desire. And that must be commended. But before we can begin to be like the Lord, we have to face ourselves. We have to admit what we are in ourselves. And that is why the Lord asked Jacob, "What is your name? What is your name?" As far as the Genesis record was concerned, the last time Jacob was asked that question, he told a lie. His father was blind. He told his father, when he was asked by his father, "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." Genesis chapter 27 verses 18 and 19. He did this to steal the blessing of the firstborn. So now, when the Lord asked Jacob, "What is your name?" God certainly knew Jacob's name and that Jacob had the reputation of being a schemer, a deceiver. "What is your name?" That meant, are you going to continue to live up to your name, deceiving yourself and others? Or will you admit what you are and would you let me change you? That's what God is asking. In the Bible, receiving a name signifies making a new beginning. Genesis chapter 17 verses 4 to 5. If you read these verses, you will realize that receiving a name signifies making a new beginning. Genesis chapter 17 verses 4 to 5. Genesis chapter 17 verse 15. Numbers chapter 13 verse 16. And John chapter 1 verses 40 to 42. So this was Jacob's opportunity to make a fresh start in life. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is like that. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's a fresh start, a new life. Now, this new name that God gave Jacob was Israel. Jacob means deceiver. Israel means God fights. Genesis chapter 32 verse 28. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. That means no more deceiver, but God fights. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Jacob had gained power because he prevailed. He lost the battle with the man who wrestled with him, who was the Lord himself. He lost the battle, but he won the victory. By seeking God's blessing and finally being weakened and forced to yield, Jacob was now turned to Israel. He was a God-empowered prince. God-empowered prince. God would fight for him. Jacob became strong only when he became weak. And that's true for ourselves too. Ask yourself this question. Have I surrendered my life to the Lord? And am I experiencing His power at work within me? Or am I still trying to live life in my own strength? The next aspect that we see of worship in this psalm is hearing God's word. Praising the Lord, number one. Number two, hearing God's word. Psalm 81 verses 6 to 10. I read to you from the New Living Translation, Psalm 81 verses 6 to 10. Now I will take the load from your shoulders. I will free your hands from their heavy tasks. You cried to me in trouble and I saved you. I answered you out of the thunder cloud and tested your faith when there was no water at Meribah. Listen to me, O my people, while I give you stern warnings, O Israel, if you would only listen to me, you must never have a foreign god. You must not bow down before a false god. For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. Psalm 81 verse 5. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. Now the last clause of verse 5 could also be translated, we heard a voice we had not known. And we see that in the margin of the NIV version. This refers to the message that God sent in verses 6 to 10 of this psalm, which I just read to you. At some point in the festival celebration, a priest received God's word. He received God's message and he declared it to the people. While the worship is going on, the priest received a word from God and he declares it to the people. And the emphasis in the psalm is on hearing the word of God. Psalm 81 verse 7. In distress you called and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Psalm 81 verse 11. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. Verse 13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. In Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11, we read, for he is our God, and we are his pasture. We are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work for 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. In the New Testament, the writer to the Hebrews says, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years.
Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Every seventh year, at the Feast of Tabernacles, the priests read the book of Deuteronomy to the people. They would read the book of Deuteronomy to the people. And maybe this was one of those special sabbatical years. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 9 to 13, we read, so Moses wrote this entire body of instruction in a book and gave it to the priests, who carried the ark of the Lord's covenant and to the elders of Israel. Then Moses gave them this command. At the end of every seventh year, the year of release, during the festival of shelters, you must read this book of instruction to all the people of Israel when they assemble before the Lord your God at the place he chooses. Call them all together, men, women, children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so they may hear this book of instruction and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of these instructions. Do this so that your children who have not known these instructions will hear them and will learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. The emphasis in the book of Deuteronomy is on hearing God. Hearing God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1. And now, Israel, listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I am about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live, so you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6. Obey them completely, and you will display your wisdom and intelligence among the surrounding nations. When they hear all these decrees, they will exclaim, how wise and prudent are the people of this great nation. So they were called to listen to God speaking through his word. They were to obey him, hearing God, obeying him. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 10. Never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, summon the people before me and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear me also. Now I want you to please read Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 3 to 4, and chapter 9 verse 1. You can note that down and read it after we finish. Please read those verses. All these verses emphasize hearing God, listening to God. And the whole of Deuteronomy, that's the emphasis. It is delightful to sing praises, to worship God, to praise God and to pray. But if we want him to listen to us, then we must listen to him. We must hear him. We must obey him. Frequently, the Lord reminded his people of their miraculous deliverance from Egypt. God reminded them of his power that accomplished it and his love that motivated their deliverance. Psalm 81 verse 6. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. He also reminded them of the covenant they accepted at Sinai. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 2 and 3. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make his covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The people hearing this message were not at Mount Sinai. By the way, Mount Sinai was also known as Horeb. The people hearing this message in Psalm 81 were not at Mount Sinai, but the decision of their ancestors was binding on them and their descendants. God's message also mentioned their failure to trust him at Meribah. They grumbled against Moses and against God. We see this in Exodus chapter 17 and Numbers chapter 20. At the Feast of Tabernacles, the priests, they would pour out water in the temple to commemorate these events. In the New Testament, we read in the Gospel of John how Jesus spoke in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. Most likely while this water was being poured out in the temple. John chapter 7 verses 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Today, you and I who trust Christ as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in us. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. But that's not enough. We have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit must have us. He must take complete control of us. He must take complete control of our spirit, soul, and body. Now, the Lord emphasized that he would not tolerate his people worshipping idols. He makes it very clear in Psalm 81. Psalm 81 verses 8 and 9. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. Exodus chapter 20 verses 1 to 4. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 15 to 20. But be very careful. You did not see the Lord's form on the day he spoke to you from the heart of the fire at Mount Sinai. So do not corrupt yourselves by making an idol. Do not corrupt yourselves by making an idol in any form, whether of a man or a woman or animal, whether of a man or a woman, an animal on the ground, a bird in the sky, a small animal that scurries along the ground, or a fish in the deepest sea. And when you look up into the sky and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the forces of heaven, don't be seduced into worshipping them. The Lord your God gave them to all the peoples of the earth. Remember that the Lord rescued you from the iron smelting furnace of Egypt in order to make you his very own people and his special possession, which is what you are today. What could the false gods of the neighboring nations give to them anyway? The Lord God had given them everything they needed. The Lord says in Psalm 81 verse 10, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Now we come to the third aspect of worship. The third aspect of worship is obeying God's will. And we read of that in verses 11 to 16 of Psalm 81, which I read to you. Worship and service go together. When the Lord Jesus rebuked the devil, he said, we read in Matthew chapter 4 verse 10, then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 13, it is the Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve and by his name you shall swear. This means we must obey what the Lord commands. We must listen to him, hear his voice, speaking to us by his spirit, through his word, and we must obey what the Lord commands. But the nation of Israel, they did not obey God's word. They rebelled against God. And he had to destroy all the people 20 years and older. Numbers chapter 14 verses 26 to 35. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I have heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. Now tell them this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in this wilderness because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. You said your children would be carried off as plunder. Well, I will bring them safely into the land and they will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you will drop dead in this wilderness and your children will be like shepherds wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In this way, they will pay for your faithlessness until the last of you lies dead in the wilderness. Because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years. A year for each day suffering the consequences of your sins. Then you will discover what it is like to have me for an enemy. Then you will discover what it is like to have me for an enemy. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will certainly do these things to every member of the community who has conspired against me. They will be destroyed here in this wilderness, and here they will die. But this attitude of spiritual deafness, this attitude of spiritual deafness and willful disobedience persisted. Even after Israel entered the promised land, this attitude of not hearing God's voice, not hearing God speaking to them, and willfully disobeying, that persisted in Israel, even in the promised land. Psalm 78 verse 10, they did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. Psalm 78 verse 57, but turned away and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow. The greatest judgment God can send is to let people have their own way. The Apostle Paul talks about this kind of judgment in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 verse 24 we read, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Romans chapter 1 verse 26. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. Romans chapter 1 verse 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things that should never be done. If his people had obeyed him, the Lord would have kept the promises in his covenant, and the Lord would have blessed them with protection, the Lord would have blessed them with provision. But his hand of chastisement was upon them because of their disobedience. Leviticus chapter 26 verses 17 to 20. I will set my face against you, and you shall be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. And if in spite of this you will not listen to me, then I will discipline you again sevenfold for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. I would suggest that you also read Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 15 and the verses following Deuteronomy chapter 28. And also Leviticus chapter 26 verses 27 to 31. When we disobey the Lord, not only do we feel the pain of his chastening, he punishes us and that's painful, but we also miss out on the blessings he so desires to give us. The Lord gave Israel water out of the rock, but he was prepared to give them honey out of the rock. Deuteronomy 32 verse 9. But the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage. Verse 13, Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the land, and he ate the produce of the field, and he suckled him with honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. He sent manna from heaven, and he would have given them the finest of wheat. In Psalm 81 verse 13, we read the word if. And the word if is very small, but it carries big consequences. Psalm 81 verse 13. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Isaiah 48 verse 18. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 verse 37. Regarding the nation of Israel, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. You were not willing. Of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, said John Greenleaf Whittier, it might have been. Life is made up of things that were, things that are, and things that might have been. We find all these in Psalm 81. In verses 1 to 10, we find the things that were. Asaph, the psalmist, talks about the God of Jacob and says, let's get our worship team together. Let's get our trumpets and let us sing to the Lord. He delivered us from Egypt. He gave us his commandments. He reflects and he rejoices in the past. But things that were did not last long because the people soon rebelled against the Lord. Next, we see the things that are in Psalm 81 verses 11 and 12. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. The things that were brought rejoicing. The things that are spoke of rebellion. The people of God rebelled against him. They wouldn't listen to him. They would not call him. They would not call upon him. They would not obey his word. So they lost all that he had for them. Finally, we see the things that might have been. Psalm 81 verses 13 to 16. Oh, that my people would listen to me. That Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. What might have been? Victory, satisfaction, joy, the finest wheat and honey out of the rock. God was wanting to give it to them. So the lesson here is, don't rebel against God and thus miss the blessings that he wants to give you. Dwelling on past failures only turns to regret. If you have failed the Lord, come back to him. Repent. Ask for forgiveness and pray. And ask the Lord God to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Dedicate yourself to him and start experiencing those things that might have been. God has the best plan for you. Jeremiah 29 verses 11 to 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In John chapter 10 verse 10. Jesus exposing the devil says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then he goes on to say, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer?